Welcome into Jets Nation Radio, sponsored by Betway. Make sure you like and subscribe to Jets Nation Radio so you never miss a podcast. Welcome into Jets Nation Radio. I'm Angus Hout. As always, Jets Nation Radio is brought to you by online sportsbook Betway, available in Ontario. And be sure to check out the latest NHL future odds. Ray, but how are you doing? You're looking a little sun-kissed there.
Yeah. Canada Day was very beating down on my skin, so kind of in the recovery stage right now. But as you can see, my face is kind of red. So, but it's not too painful. So we tough through it to bring you the Jets content.
I respect it. I noticed you had like lots of fun hats. Are you the fun guy, hat guy with your friend group?
No, I actually. None of those hats were mine, so like
oh, some of them I remember steals everyone's hats.
Yes, I'm the guy that sees a cool hat and I'm like, I need to take a picture with this hat and then give it back, like even though other one that whereas at the party with the big cowboy hat, like that wasn't even my hat either. So
you just know how to take
those were
hats.
My two friends. Yeah,
all right, well,
sometimes I ask, sometimes I don't.
I respect it. At least you're not stealing lighters like some folks I know. Yeah. So good on you. Unless, are you a lighter thief?
No.
No. Oh, good. Protecting your lungs, I assume. Sure. But let's talk about the four signings by the Winnipeg Jets on free agency Saturday.
Yeah.
So let's start with everyone's favorite returning goaltender, Laurent Brossoit.
Yeah.
How do you like that signing?
I think it's an amazing signing. We saw in the playoffs when we played against Vegas that he really found his groove. He was able to basically be that goalie that they trusted to go into the playoffs. And I felt that he was a really good goalie before his injuries. And he even said in his interviews that like after his injury, like his left hip was like he's been able to do a lot more than he's been able to do pre-injuries. And I think it's a bet on himself. So when a player like that is willing to take a bet on themselves, I feel like they have that more motivation to really step up that game because he's going to have next year to really earn more money. And he's wanting that like starting spot.
Yeah.
So and maybe. Yeah. You can go.
All right. Well, I was going to say, yeah, if Connor Hellebuyck leaves, but Kevin Cheveldayoff, I know he's a little bit of a snake oil salesman there, but seems pretty confident that we're going to get one of either Scheifele or Connor Hellebuyck back. And you'd think that he'd be working real hard on Connor Hellebuyck. I mean, the future looks pretty darn bright here. But Laurent Brossoit, yeah. 1 year, $1.75 million. It's like, you're definitely paying a little bit more, but you're definitely getting really good quality for $1.75 million.
He's the best backup goalie that the Jets have had since he's been here. So that says a little something.
Yeah. And the fact that they got him back, I mean, where's all these haters being like, no one wants to play in Winnipeg. We got two guys back. The other being Vlad Nemestikov. How you feeling about that one?
I think that's also an amazing signing we saw with Nemestikov. You really tooted his horn a lot and like just re-signing him like every single week, just re-sign Nemestikov. And I wasn't too sure, but I think that like with how the Jets are changing that culture, and he even said he wanted to play in Winnipeg. Like, this guy is kind of a journeyman. He's been to many teams around the NHL. And to say that he wants to play in Winnipeg is really huge. Because if he can change that narrative that people want to go there, I think that that's a really big step for Winnipeg in bringing in more players and more dynamic players. And he's just a guy that is a smart player. Like, he's one of the smartest players on the Jets, I'd say. And he can really slot in anywhere in your lineup. He was playing 2C a lot last year, but I think that he might not have the same opportunity because I think Perfetti is going to really push to try to get that center spot on either the first or second line. So he might not have the same role on the team as he did last year with playing in that middle six. Like, he might just be on the bottom six, but having that guy that can step into the top six at any point is going to be invaluable.
100%. And I mean, like, if Cole Perfetti's having an off night, let's just say his first period and a half sucks. Well, you got Vlad Nemestikov who can just step up. Like you said, he can play up and down that lineup. So, yeah, smart, cerebral player. Leah, just everything about that looks real good. And 2 years for $2 million, like, that's got to be the steal of the day, don't you think?
I think that Brossoit is actually probably the steal that Chevy was able to pull off, just because of how good he was after his injury. Like, he didn't have a single regular season loss this past year, although he has been injured. And we saw in the playoffs, like, he was that starter for Vegas going into the playoffs. They didn't start with Aiden Hill, who eventually became the starter because of the injury. They went with Brossoit, who played that first, like, series and a half. So, and to get him at the price point they did, I feel like there's a lot more benefit of Brossoit on that 1 year deal than what Nemestikov can bring on that 2 year deal. Not saying that Nemestikov can't be a very bargain deal, but I feel like Brossoit will, like he said, he was going to push Hellebuck to kind of like start maybe like 30 some games. Like, he's going to make it like so he can play more games. Like, he's going to be more like determined to be a better player than I feel like Nemestikov. So, but they're both going to be determined to make the Jets a better team.
Oh, absolutely. Colin Delia, former Chicago Blackhawk and Vancouver Canuck. Do you see him getting in games if, you know, God forbid something happens to either Hellebuck or LB?
Yeah, I think that like it's a great third goalie option, and he's on league men too. So he's probably going to be that goalie that is in with the Moose for the most time. He isn't waiver exempt, so he might have to go through waivers at the start of the season. If something happens there, we might not have him, so we'll wait and see on that. But to have a third goalie that has had NHL experience is really good, because you don't want to call up a goalie, kind of pointing out here that you said Salmon, or what's his name? Salomon, Oskari Salmonen. If you have him as your third goalie, like, if he's going to get relied upon, like, is it really going to work out? Like, this guy hasn't had any NHL experience. He hasn't had that kind of long-term North American style kind of on. Like, he hasn't had that kind of experience playing in these type of chances. So Delia is a great player for if something happens, and he can be a decent backup goalie if he's relied upon for that as well.
Let us know about Axel Johnson-Fialvi. How do you like him at 2 years at a leagueman? He's 13-4 for the Jets.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a similar role to what he had this year, kind of that energy bottom six player. And I really like that the Jets went about this. Like, he didn't get the RFA status for playing that 75th game, so he went to UFA. And the Jets kind of realized that, hey, this guy might want to have an opportunity elsewhere. Let's let this guy explore where he wants to go. And maybe the market wasn't there for him. So the Jets were able to actually have him at a two-way contract for the first year of that contract. So if they need to put him down to the Moose, they can do that. And then they have the second year where he's going to be a better, more experienced player, and he can definitely be part of that bottom six. So I don't see really any risk in that. And we saw last year when we claimed him on waivers, like, there wasn't a lot of expectations on him, and he was able to do some pretty good stuff in the bottom six. And when we're losing some of our players in the middle and in bottom six, like Stenlund and Blake Wheeler, like, the opportunity for him might be slightly increased if he gets the ice time that he had last year. So he might get third line time depending on injuries and how line chemistry shakes out. But I think that it's a good signing, and there isn't really much risk to it.
Yeah, and I mean, like, he's got the first year is a two-way deal, so you can ship him up and down. The second year is a one-way deal, but you kind of expect him to take that next step in his career at that point. We'll see what happens, but I'm rooting for AJF, because what a good dude to have on your team. Like, not a great two-way player, but he's pretty good. He gets into those spots.
He's a serviceable bottom six guy that has a bit of speed, a bit of grit, and, like, he kind of surprises you with how, like, you might see him do a really great shift and you're like, wait, who is that? Like, you kind of see glimpses of a consistent bottom six player in him. So if he can kind of put it all together, I feel like he could be a really great piece to a bottom six in the future.
Oh, 100%. And we might be laughing next year about the fact that we got Axel Johnson-Fialvi for league men. I mean, A man can dream for sure. Alex Iafallo told Jets GM that he is coming to Winnipeg to win a cup. Do the Jets have the right amount of swagger and skill to win it all?
I think that they have, like, they're going to have that more team mentality. Like, I feel like they are more confident from up and down the lineup than they've ever been, really, because the talk about the Jets has always been, oh, they have a really great top six. The defense kind of needs a little bit improving, but they have Hellebuck. But I think that the forward core is a lot more balanced. Like, Iafallo has really good defense metrics. So does Iafallo. Kupari was really good in the faceoffs. Like, these players that they're targeting are really good offensive players, but they're also very good defensive players. And that's something that the Jets forwards may kind of be a little iffy on in the past. So I think that they're creating a team that may not be the like best overall skill, like line one, line two, line three, line four, but the overall competitiveness and like just 200-foot game, but also being able to score goals and to have that chemistry, I think is invaluable. And it's going to be great to see how many different line combinations they can make. Because I remember this past year, how frustrating it was with the Jets lineup, like just how it was constructed sometimes with like Ehlers on the third line, Wheeler getting top 6 minutes, Ehlers not playing with Dubois and Connor. Like, I feel like the Jets lineup now, like, there isn't going to be too much room to kind of say, oh, they should do this lineup. It's going to be miles better. Like, the players that are there now, I think that you can, like, the lineup will be really good regardless of what lines you do.
Yeah, and there's not much that's guaranteed going into this lineup. Like, the only guy that I can pen in where he's going to be playing is Adam Lowry. Everyone else is kind of a bit of a crapshoot.
I would say Kyle Connor on the first line left wing is probably,
yeah, that too,
and
probably,
like, the only other one.
Yeah. Maybe Mark Scheifele top C. Well, I guess Perfetti could take him out.
Yeah.
So.
And we also saw Scheifele on the wing. So maybe they go for Lardy and Perfetti as the centers and go Scheifele on the wing too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, this lineup is wide open.
I'd love to see a line of Connor, Perfetti, and Scheifele. And then if Perfetti's kind of struggling on faceoffs, you just kind of switch Perfetti to the wing and Scheifele to the center. So I think that could be a really good opportunity there. But I know Perfetti might need some time to adjust to that. So it may just be kind of a dream at this point to see all of them on a line. But I feel like Perfetti would be able to set both of those goal scorers up immaculately.
I think Velarde's going to be playing a lot with Perfetti. I think he needs like a good protective guy out there. I think Velarde would be that guy for him.
Yeah.
Or Iafallo. One of those guys, but like one or both of the, well, one of those guys will be playing with him, I think, all
or
this
Nino.
Season.
Oh, man. Nino with
Nino.
Perfetti would.
Man, I love Nino Niederreiter so much.
A line of Iafallo, Perfetti, and Niederreiter would be amazing.
Man, we're drinking the Kool-Aid early. Like, this is going to be a fun team next year. And like Rick Bonus kind of let everyone do their thing, like with the defenders generally completing assignments. Like, I don't know if we have to worry about as much. And with like Scheifele is the only guy that you have to worry about his defensive game. And maybe with Wheeler out, things should be a little bit better with this team. So
yeah,
who knows what you're going to see, but I really hope that we see a change Scheifele and everyone just like, we play a 200-foot game. Doesn't matter, you know, if you're 55 or if you're five, you know, everyone's on the same boat. I really, really hope that we have, you know, the first half of last season's Mark Scheifele again.
Yeah, and I think that when you're bringing in these players, like, it might inspire, like, the two defensive or lack of defense forwards, I'd say, is Scheifele and Connor. But if they see, like, the team buying into this 200-foot game and, like, really going for it, like, I feel like if both of them are on the team, like, they might be like, these guys are busting their bottoms to go back and help the defensive zone. So I kind of want to be, like, I don't want to be the person that's not doing it. So they might have to kind of change the way they play their game so they kind of fit into the style of hockey that the Jets want to play.
It's kind of funny that Mark Scheifele is way more the whipping boy than Kyle Connor when it comes to the lack of defensive game.
Yeah, probably because Scheifele is the center. So
yeah, that might be it. Kyle Connor can kind of just disappear with the flow.
Yeah.
I forgot about one of the guys that we have acquired here. Jeffrey Veil?
Veil, yeah.
Veil is
however you want to pronounce it.
I mean, I'm bad with names, so, you know, you got to pronounce it for me there, champ.
Yeah.
either way, who is he and what does he bring to the Jets?
Yeah, Jeffrey Veil is a guy that played the majority of the season last season in the AHL with the Barracuda in the San Jose organization. And he's just a hard-nosed, grinder-style guy. And he's going to, like, put up penalty minutes. He's going to – the best description I can kind of think of is almost like a Logan Stanley, but decided to play forward and was a little smaller. So he might make some boneheaded decisions time to time, but he's going to lay it on the line for his teammates. And, like, he's not going to be that guy that's just going to go out day to day, like, oh, I'm just going to do my best. Like, he's going to do 110%, and he's going to hit people. He's going to fight people. And I think he's going to be a favorite in Winnipeg, even though he might not get as many games. So it might be kind of like a Stenlin situation where he starts in the AHL and then goes up to the NHL. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Veil and what type of player he is with the Jets.
Nice. I like scrappy guys like that.
Yeah.
All the goalies in the Winnipeg with the Winnipeg Jets organization have 1 year left on their contract. How are you feeling about that?
It's kind of concerning because with the cap going up too, you can see this trend, not just in Winnipeg, but with players around the league, they're taking 1 year deals, anticipating this big jump in cap and a big UFA class. So I think it's kind of concerning that there's no longevity in the Jets system. Like, if no goalie is staying with the Jets next season, there is zero goalies. Like, not a single goalie is signed. And I think that the Jets might be one of, if not the only team that has this situation. So I think that with Thomas Milic, who they picked this year, who might be going pro from what I've heard from the Jets system, from Mark Hillier. So he might be the one goalie that's signed beyond this year if he gets signed. So, but yeah, like, it's just concerning. Like, you don't have any longevity and you don't know what your goalie situation is going to be in a year. So you just got to hope.
I mean, I really hope that we manage to sign Connor Hellebuck to, like, you know, just a 3 year bridge, maybe for like eight five. I'd be okay with that. I don't know if it's going to happen, but, you know, somebody, I don't even remember who suggested it, but yeah, that, you know, Connor Hellebuck might do a 1 to 2 year bridge after this and stick it out in Winnipeg for a few more years, especially with allegedly how bright the team looks right now. But yeah, it feels good.
And one thing that kind of happened was the Sorokin contract. Like, he extended in the Islander system for 8.25. So that might kind of be a help to the Jets, where how much more are you willing to pay from, like, Sorokin to Hellebuck? So, like, we all heard the Hellebuck wants 9.5s, and I don't think Hellebuck is worth, like, 1.25 more than Sorokin. So maybe on an 8 year, like, if he's still going for that 8 year deal, like, between like 8.5 and 8.75, maybe on the north and 9. So his contract might be a little cheaper just because of the other contracts that goalies might be signing as well.
Yeah, totally fair. Cause you're like, Sorokin and Hellebuck, you know, obviously Hellebuck is better, but yeah, you're right. There's not that much of a difference. Like, $8.5 million, I guess, for Hellebuck.
Yeah, and Sorokin's also younger too.
Yeah, there is that too. So, like, unless Connor Hellebuck wins you a cup this year, I don't see him earning much more than 8.5. Blake Wheeler bought out. We knew it was coming. What's your favorite Blake Wheeler moment?
I think it has to be that 2017-2018 season, because that's the first year he became a point-per-game player. He was the captain for all this time leading up to this moment where the Jets kind of were a great team. Like, they had all this young talent. They had Laine, they had Connor, they had Morrissey. Like, it was just a culmination. and he was there through all parts of that, and he became a point per game player. And just what he was able to kind of culminate in that season to that point was just amazing to see. And to go on that run, I think that a lot of Jets fans were made that season, including me.
Yeah. I mean, how can you not love Blake Wheeler after that? And like, look at what he got. Like, doesn't even need to get paid that much in New York. And it's like, I had a friend ask, like, do you think he's going to win his cup there? I was like, no, he's just kind of squandered it away now. I don't know if New York's winning, so yeah. I'm sorry there, Blake. You're going to have to try one more time.
Kind of funny that now Trouba, who was a Winnipeg Jet, is the captain over Blake Wheeler as well. So
it's a good one, honestly. But my favorite Wheeler moment was right after he fought Matthew Tkachuk right after Scheifele's injury in the bubble there. I mean, yeah, he got his ass kicked, but at the same time, what a good dude standing up for one of his best buddies. So that's where I'm at with good old Blake Wheeler. How would you grade Kevin Cheveldayoff's off season so far?
I think, like, including the Dubois Sega.
We'll say from whenever we left the playoffs.
I'd say I'd have to give him an A, to be honest. Like that Dubois trade, I think, really elevated the Jets. Like Cheveldayoff said that it's like the Jets evolving into a new team. And I think that he did a really great job on that trade. The draft went really well, getting Colby Barlow and getting these guys that may not be like the biggest names on the market, but guys that want to play here and bet on themselves to make Winnipeg a better team and really not give out like any bad contracts. Like you see, I don't know what's a bad contract, like Klingberg, for example, in Toronto, like you're paying $4 million for that guy to not play defense. Like a lot of bad deals get made on July 1st, and I don't see a bad deal. And sometimes the best thing to do on July 1st is not to do anything, and he didn't really do anything that would hinder himself into the future. So the only thing that maybe he could have done better is maybe trade out one of the defensemen in the logjam, but ultimately he's done a pretty good job, so I really can't complain.
Do you think we're going to see that logjam start to move at all this summer, or do you think that's just, it just is what it is?
Yeah, like he traded Gonka to kind of recoup a defense prospect there, so he is kind of like trying to make it better, and he's not going to trade away any of the guys just to trade him. Like, he's not going to make a trade just for the sake of clearing it up, because I think that we all know Chevy loves to have depth available to him. And like, Dylan is the guy that I look at and I'm like, something kind of needs to happen here. Like, a decision needs to be made, because if you're going into next season and you have Billy Heinola still not playing in the NHL, I think that some serious questions need to be asked on why this guy is still in your system and why you haven't either traded him or given him the opportunity to be a full-time NHLer. So I feel like he really needs to evaluate what he's going to do with Billy. And if he's not in the long-term plans, what are you going to do with him and what are you going to get back for him?
That's a good question. Also, you think Brennan Dillon's the guy that would move the logjam, or you would want to move out?
Yeah, like, as much as I want, like the easy answer is to say Schmidt, but his contract is quite large and he has trade protection. And quite frankly, like, if we were to move him, we might need to attach assets to him. Just like a $6 million cap hit might not be the easiest to unload. So, and he's a great locker room guy, and I don't think a lot of guys like that are wanting, like, you need that kind of guy in your system to really liven up the locker room. So, and you're not moving out Pionk, because Pionk and Iafallo had a pretty good relationship in Minnesota Duluth. So, and he's also one of two right-handed defensemen in the NHL for the Jets. And then you're not moving Dylan DeMello or Morrissey. And then that leaves Sandberg as your last one. So it's like, it's kind of like Dylan is the only kind of guy that fits that bill. So it's gonna be Dylan or Hainola, and I'd be surprised that if like I would be surprised if both are still on the Jets come September.
And you're right. Like Nate Schmidt is such a good locker room guy. Like I was talking to a friend over the weekend. He's just like, why would you keep him around? Like you do need locker room guys. Yeah, it'd be nice if you could get them on Matt Hendricks deals, but you're not gonna do
Yeah.
that. So sometimes, and like really, if Nate Schmidt's your overpayment on the team, like whatever. That's not a
Yeah.
bad overpayment.
Yeah, and it's like it's only 2 years too, so it's not like it's like an 8 year deal with Schmidt. So,
No, and I mean
and for
what
them, I was just gonna say that he has the ability that he can play on both sides too. So you have a lot more options there too. So it's not like he's like a hindrance to you.
No, exactly. And I mean just and he plays well with the young guys too. Like, you know, you see the occasional mistake from Nate Schmidt, but he's not costing you a whole lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. The Nate Schmidt hate. Needs to go because I love my captain of smiles. All right, let's get into the silly season. What's the furthest you're willing to drive in a single day?
Like one, like just like a one trip.
Just a one trip, like you can go to this destination for like let's just say 3 days. But it's a one day drive for you. How far is that one day drive?
Probably like 6 hours. Like I'd say like I went to Ottawa a couple of years ago and like that was like 6 hours ish for me. So, and I didn't really like how much, like I wouldn't really want to do an hour more than that. So I'd say that right there is probably a good destination. Like I'd probably go to Ottawa again too. Just the scenery is nice and everything there. So I'd say like 6 hours is probably the max I'd wanna kind of do there.
Fair enough. That's a reasonable number. Like my folks are from Edmonton or the Edmonton area anyways, and hi Junior. And they're right on the cusp of that's too far to drive. And I've done one shots from Winnipeg to Edmonton, and then like they live further southwest of Edmonton. So it's an extra hour of driving that I gotta do. So 13 hours is my max. But I hate it. I hit Sherwood Park for like, I go from Winnipeg to Sherwood Park and I'm just cussing by that point. I'm just like, damn it, Dad, why can't you live in the nice parts of Edmonton and so on and so forth? But he actually just moved slightly further away from where he was at. So I told him, like, you moved the wrong direction. So yeah, it's a long drive. It sucks. But I usually, if I can, I try to stop in Saskatoon. What is your long weekend drink of choice?
I'd probably either have to say like a good Smirnoff Ice or some Mike's
Ooh.
because I like I'm a sweet tooth, so the Mike's like just the different flavors don't really get to me. Like I
Do you
gave one to
not
my
get
friend.
hangovers?
No, I don't really, unless it's I'm going real hard, so but like I gave one of my friends one of my Mike's and he's like, are you drinking this? It's so sweet. And I'm like, I like it, so
You'll grow out of it. You'll find rum and
yeah.
coke, and then you'll be content
Yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Because I was a big Smirnoff guy when I was 18, so I don't know. Rum and coke, that's where it's at there, friendo. But my long weekend choice, Coors Light, surprisingly. I'm not a generic beer guy at all, but for the long weekend, it's like, yeah, load me up with those Blue Mountains.
Yeah.
This part of the question doesn't pertain to you, but every Winnipegger will feel the hit of this. Mitzi's, the place famous for their chicken fingers and the birthplace of honey dill. Do you know what honey dill is?
Kind of
It's like
like a like it
mayonnaise, dill, and honey all like thrown into a vat together, and then you get this delicious little condiment sauce. It's
okay.
like apparently only available in Manitoba. I've seen it in Safeways across Western Canada. I don't know about your end of the world, but it's pretty darn good. If you want something good on your chicken nuggies, that's the way to go. But I want to know, what is your favorite condiment?
Just for
chicken
anything?
tenders.
Or
Let's just
just
say,
chicken tenders?
yeah.
Okay, it'd probably have to be ketchup. I'm kind of like I don't really need that much for the tenders, so I know you have a deep kind of hate relationship with ketchup, so
It's
kind of
just
giving you
because
the
I worked
wrong
at
answer
summer
here.
camps and I watched kids put ungodly amounts of ketchup
Yeah,
on things.
I'm not even using that much ketchup. Like I only dip like one or two times per strip, so it's like probably like bite with ketchup, bite without ketchup, bite with ketchup, bite without, like I'm
You're saying that
not
you go
dosing it.
like with like naked tendies sometimes, like you'll
Yeah,
just.
I could, yeah, the, yeah, so it really depends. Like if the tenders are really good, like I don't really feel the need to put anything with them. Like they're already really good to me, so I don't think ketchup to me is like if the tenders are pretty good, I'd use ketchup, but if they're amazing tenders, like I feel like ketchup would take away from what that tender is.
I get it. It's like when bad fries, when fries are not as good as they should be, but they're still pretty good, you need a little ketchup with them. I get what you're
Yeah,
saying
but
there.
if they're amazing fries, then you're not really
Yeah, you're looking
putting.
for the fry experience then. You don't need to get
Yeah.
rid of that flavor with ketchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, personally, I'm just a honey mustard kind of a guy with those like bad nuggets. Actually, Burger King, they've got like their $2 for 10 nuggets. That with the bold barbecue sauce, that's some perfection right there, my friend. And I'm ashamed that I go to Burger King, but that's because they have a vegetarian Whopper for friends of mine. So, yeah. Well, Ray, we didn't have a friend today. This is the second time we've had people not show up on this podcast when they say they were, when they say they will. So, classic us. Either way, before we head out, we should shout out our good friends at Betway for keeping the lights on, kind of ish, not really. But be sure to check out the latest future NHL odds with online sportsbook Betway. Maybe bet on the Blue Bombers. They're taking on the Calgary Stampeders this Friday night at IG Field. So bet on the Bombers. I'm sure they'll win. It's just Calgary. Ray, where can we find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me at ray.howe on Instagram. And if you have any questions you want us to cover, we can cover them. The off season is going to be pretty long since free agency is kind of ending and the draft is over. So if you have anything that you want discussed, we can probably cover it. There's not going to be a lot of stuff. So
Oh, you think that every time you say that, something big happens,
yeah.
Ray. So maybe you do
Yeah.
need to keep telling us that nothing's going to happen here because,
Yeah.
you know, at least it keeps
Be a
us entertained.
tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, you can check out jetsnation.ca, Jets Nation on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. We might get a Mastodon because, I mean, Twitter sucks these days. RIP Twitter. And give me a follow, Angus Hout. Again, Twitter and Instagram. Well, for how long on Twitter? We don't know. Thanks, Elon. I hope that Zuckerberg kicks your ass because I missed the bird app.
yeah.
Peace. Go Jets, go.